Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Movie Crush on a Monday. It's a mini with Noel back in the house.
The greatest adventure is on Movie Crush.
Sorry, dude. I was listening back to that episode we did where we were talking about The Hobbit. And I've got that stuck in my head now and that voice. And you do a kind of quavery voice thing that's sort of like that guy.
You know what just happened in the car, Noel?
No.
Ruby is at art camp right now.
Oh,
it's
nice.
It's the saddest art camp. It's her and three girls.
Oh.
Because of distancing. But these are the only children she's seen in months and months and months. So it's been kind of great.
That's
but
awesome.
We were on the way, and I was playing, you know, kids, little kids like Ween.
Huh? It makes sense. It tracks. I was not aware of that, but yeah.
Yeah. A lot of their stuff is like very kid-friendly. I mean, while also being completely not kid-friendly. But musically, it sounds very fun and kid-like. I put on Spinal Meningitis, which has that creepy...
Why are needles in my spine, Mommy?
Well, there's also the little kid voice that layered on top of it.
Right.
And I didn't want her hearing the main lines, which is, it really hurts, Mommy. Am I gonna die?
Right.
Please don't let me die.
Yes.
So I kept saying, please let me fly. Am I gonna fly? And I turned, you know, the song went off, and then she's in the back seat going, am I gonna fly, Mommy? Please let me fly. It's like, all right.
Oh, you know, my
garbage
heavens.
Parent.
You're
dad of the year.
You're making a little bad seed kind of situation here, Chuck. That's amazing.
Maybe. And she also was just started singing Yellow Submarine, a song that I have never played for her before, out of nowhere.
Huh.
And I was like, your kid just starts singing the Beatles out of nowhere. That's a good sign.
Where'd she get a hold of Yellow Submarine, I wonder?
I don't know. I mean, they probably played it in art class or something.
Yeah, that makes sense. It makes sense.
How are you, sir?
I'm okay, man. I don't know if you can see. I've got a little more background action going on in my stewed here.
Orange.
I got the mic coming down from on high. I got one of these little boom arm things. And I got my little, you ever see one of these guys?
Yeah, that's, play it, Noel.
Anyway, you get the picture. It's a melodica, and that was the Jurassic Park theme.
It's a melodica. For those of you that don't know, it's one of those keyboards that has a blow tube, and you supply the sound through your morning breath.
Exactly. My morning coffee breath. Not to be shared with others unless you have your own mouthpiece. But yeah, you can't really see it, but I've got like all my stuff. I've got a full drum kit in here now. I've got my little keyboard rig set up over here. I got all my guitars hanging on the
wall.
Is
that a laptop, Noel? Or is it a desktop?
The computer I'm using?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a laptop, but I have a second monitor up on my little shelf here. And then I got my new monitor speakers, and I'm set to go, Chuck. I'm ready to rock.
Well, my question, Noel, is can you pick up the goddamn laptop?
No, it's tethered. It's tethered, Chuck. It's tethered.
What do you mean tethered? Who tethers a laptop?
It's got like a dongle. It's just going into the sound card. It's going in the sound card. It's got the...
I don't want to hear about your dongle.
It's a pretty nice dongle, Chuck.
Too early for that.
Never too early for a dongle, my friend.
Is your dongle circumcised?
No, it's uncut.
Uncut Jim. That's what we call it.
Old Uncut Jim. That's my nickname. Speaking of which, dude, I had my dear friend Harry, who hadn't seen anybody during all this.
Are you still talking about your penis?
No. This is my dear friend Harry. This is his real name. He's got the best name. He sounds like a villain in a Charles Dickens novel. His name's Harry Grimes.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I shit you not. But he hadn't seen a single person in all of this. And I got him up here, and he, like, was telling me how he would go days without speaking. And I was just like, fuck, man, that was, he quarantined for realsies. But
that's so interesting. Yeah. Who would you be talking to?
Exactly. But he came up here and hung out for a couple of days, and we we did a back-to-back A24 anxiety double feature. We did The Lighthouse followed by Uncut Gems, and it was a hoot.
And you also sat back-to-back because of COVID.
Exactly.
I want to apologize to everyone about the audio issues I had on last week's episode. I recorded down here with Emily, and I think what happened was it recorded me through the little built-in mic on my recording unit and not my Shure, what are these, SM7Bs?
SM7B.
And it recorded Emily through her Shure SM7B. So she was very loud and also sniffly because she has allergies. Mm-hmm. And it sounded like I was in a different room. So, you know, a rare audio glitch where we're doing the best we can. So big apologies. It was a good episode too. So
I gotta say, dude, though, as I listen to other podcasts, which I, to be completely honest, don't that much because of all the podcasts that we do, you know, for work, but the audio quality swings wide, my friend, especially during all of this. So don't beat yourself up over it. A little hiccup like that is to be expected from time to time during all this.
I appreciate that. People were generally nice, and the people, I mean, no one was mean, but some people were like, I'm sorry, I just couldn't listen to this one. I had to turn it off. I was like, all right.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that happens.
You do you.
So, Noel, I figured we'd do a little gaming corner since we've been talking about games a lot lately.
Yeah.
I finally started Last of Us 2 last night.
Ooh.
Emily had a Zoom call with some old friends starting at 8 right after Ruby went to bed. So I was like, I got, and this was a long sort of party call. So, so I got a few hours here, and it's time to pop it in. It's dark outside.
Yeah.
And so I played for about, I played like the first 2 hours of the game.
Nice.
You started it?
I have not. What's your early, what's the word I'm looking for, Chuck? Early impression of the game.
Early impression is great so far. I mean, you know, I don't want to give anything away, but, you know, it's very film and movie-like, just like the other one, in that it starts off with a lot of non-gameplay stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just good to sit through and rewarding, I think. That's what makes those stories so rich, or that story so rich. It's cool to see Ellie older and, you know, more of capable. And, that's about all I want to say about it so far. I mean, it looks amazing, of course. I will say this, having played Dead Red so much lately, the horseplay, for lack of a better word, the horse interaction, or what do you call it? The interface?
Yeah.
Is much, much better in Red Dead.
Yeah.
And once you, if you're going from playing that literally that day to then switching over to this, it feels a little clunkier because you just don't have as much control over the horse as you want.
Chuck, for the record, spoiler alert, there's a horse.
There was a horse in the first one.
Was there really?
Yeah.
I didn't remember the horse.
Yeah, there was a horse at some point. Okay. They had horses later in the game.
Interesting.
But, and I hadn't played the first one in so long. It was kind of neat being thrown back into that world after so much Red Dead. All of a sudden, I was back in the Last of Us world, and I was like, oh, yeah, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
I remember why I love this game so much.
Yeah, I was a huge fan of the first game. I'm really excited to play it. I don't know that I'm going to get to it for a while. I've got a couple of games that I haven't finished on PS4, but I just got myself a Nintendo Switch, the coveted Switch.
So it got there, huh?
Yeah, it's great, man. It's a really clever system. Like, it's just, I don't know, Nintendo's so good at designing, like, hardware, and also, like, their games are just next level. Like, they're just pure fun. So I got Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which I already was playing on the Wii U, which I got rid of. It's basically the same game, just a little bit remastered and higher definition. So I continued playing that and playing that online a good bit. And then I got this game, Super Smash Brothers, where it's basically like a fighting game, but with all the Nintendo characters from throughout time. And all of the stages are like different stages from like all these classic Nintendo games. And it's not like a regular fighting game where you wear someone's like health down. It's got all these different rules. It's more like a sumo match where you have to knock them out of this ring multiple mm-hmm. times. And I don't know. It's just like, it's something about the dynamic and the balance of it is just like super addictive. I've been playing the hell out of that game.
And is your daughter, was she super excited when it showed up?
Oh, well, she was out of town at the time, and I'm terrible at surprises, so I told her it was coming. But yeah, she's been rocking Animal Crossing, which is nice. So not my bag, I'm realizing. I don't know. I've got some friends that I really respect that are so into it, so I'm going to give it a shot. But it's like, you know, you make your little house, and you decorate your island, and it's all about just like going with the flow, and like you fish in the river and all this, and collect apples from the trees, and she loves it, and you can go visit your friends' islands and do stuff together, and that's a big part of the appeal. So yeah, she's all about it. And she's good at the other games too. She's really good at Mario Kart. We can play that together. She's getting really good at Smash Bros. So yeah, it was a very worthy purchase. Really love it.
That's nice. I love it. It seems like I have all my most embarrassing moments when Emily comes around when I'm playing Red Dead. There are these two women, or at least they were female characters. You never know who's playing these characters totally. In real life. But in the game, there were these two women that just were kicking my ass, Noel. Like, out of nowhere, they were griefing me. I was just doing my thing, doing my hunting operation. And they came up, and I did my usual thing, which is I wave, and I'm like, hi, and I kind of nod my head. I'm like, friendly guy here. And she came up, Noel, and just fucking tackled me and flipped me over and hogtied me and rode me around on her horse. And then I got free. She punched me with her friend. She hogtied me again, left me on the ground. And Emily had just happened to come in there, and she's laughing her ass off. Because, you know, when you're hogtied, you can break free if you hit that button like 400 times.
Yeah. I didn't know that was a thing. Like I said, I haven't played the online component of that. But that's delightful. And also, why would you put yourself through that, Chuck? Didn't you say this has happened to you before? Are you okay?
Yes.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. I had egg on my face. It was embarrassing. I was just getting the shit kicked out of me.
Yeah.
And then I got mad, and I finally got free and was able to kill one of them. And that just made it worse. Then they were like obsessed with finding me and hog tying me. Like, I'm not good enough to. I think once you play a long, long time, you just want to get more creative in how you kick the shit out of people.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it's not fun to just like pull out your shotgun. So
no.
They were doing all sorts of creative things. That's dragging me with a horse.
Psychological torture, dude. That is bonkers.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty.
Who are these sadists? This is this is alarming.
It was who knows? Who knows? So Noel, we're gonna start off here. Did we catch up?
Are you okay? Yeah. Oh, we're caught. Yeah.
Are we good?
All right. Yeah.
I felt like there was something else I was gonna ask you about.
Was that gaming corner? Is this coming? Is there still more gaming talk, or was that it?
No, that was gaming corner.
I was making sure that wasn't just a preamble to the real gaming corner.
People be like, kill me. Are you kidding
God.
Me?
God.
Some people love it, but I'm waiting for someone to come along and kick my ass and then speak through my television and say, are you Chuck?
Yes.
From Movie Crush?
I know it's you, Chuck.
Because my name, you know, I wasn't one of these people that thought of some
clever name.
Well, not even clever. Most of them are just like, you know, Killmeister 3000. And
right.
Torture King, and there are all these disturbing names.
You know Killmeister 3K, dude? Oh, my God. He's a legend.
A legend at playing video games.
Uh-huh.
That's great. All right, so Noel, this is a question I don't know why I've never asked before. It's very simple. It is, what's your favorite black and white movie?
I saw that, and I like it because it could be like a classic, or it could be like a stylized, arty kind of black and white movie. Yeah.
Could be Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow.
Was that wasn't really fully black and white, was it?
No, we had this conversation. It was sort of a very desaturated color.
That's right. I'm thinking of Sin City, which was similar in tone, like in terms of like the design.
I quite enjoyed Sin City, that first one.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Thought it was good. So we're going to start off with the top post here from Christine Fordham. Not only my favorite black and white movie, but one of my favorite movies overall, starring one of my favorite actors, M, with Peter Lorre. directed by the incomparable Fritz Lang. Creepy atmospheric goodness. Close runner-up is Freaks. Also creepy and thoughtful.
Yeah,
I've never seen M.
I've actually seen M. I'm surprised. Like we've talked about, I haven't seen a ton of these great classics, but he whistles. He's like a serial killer, kind of. It's sort of a really early serial killer movie, and he whistles. That's how you know he's coming.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
What does he whistle? Is it a token song, like a...
I think it is, and I can't remember what it is. Something like The Farmer in the Dell or something like that, but I can't quite recall what the gotcha. Tune is. But it's the same one every time.
Moving on to, and think of your answer too, Noel.
Oh, Chris, yeah, I am.
Hokkanen, 12 Angry Men. Actors do so much with just facial expressions. Fantastic lessons to teach everyone. The rare black and white comedy from top fan and old friend Jessica Medina, or Medina. She's like, no, it's not or. It's one or the other, dude. Learn it. But she goes with Young Frankenstein.
Classic. And I don't. I guess he wasn't directly involved in this, but Carl Reiner. We just lost Carl Reiner. I think he was 97 years old or something like that. Like crazy.
Yeah. Legend.
Yeah. Wonderful.
And a contemporary of and good friend of Mel Brooks. So.
That's right. Yeah, of course.
I'm glad you remember that, Noel, to shout out. Seems like we lost someone else too recently. Or am I thinking of something else? No,
I can't tell you what you're thinking about, Chuck.
ASMR.
That is, you're not doing ASMR, right, Chuck? That is not what ASMR is.
Really, it's not a constant off-key tone.
No, it's meant to be just whispers. It's like, this is the sound of my voice, like that. You get the tingles. You're getting the tingles. I'm pretending to pretend. Stop it. I'm going to pretend to give you a haircut, Chuck.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a big one too.
It gave me a little tingle down below.
Remember American History X? I don't think that was all in black and white, but there were like the flashbacks were maybe, but that movie is
once.
Heavy.
Yeah. Did you ever see Green Room? Did we talk about that?
I really enjoyed Green Room. I mean, it's a
man.
It's a good slog. Bit. It's very like it's intense. I actually had this conversation with somebody the other night about how American History X, they're both about neo-Nazi kind of culture. American History X is much more of like an allegorical kind of like, you know, teachable kind of thing where you really like take away like, oh, this is where this hate comes from. Whereas Green Room is more of like a murder kind of like, you know, escape torture porn kind of thing. I didn't find it to be as like, you know, meaningful in terms of like, you know, understanding the motivations behind the characters. They're just kind of like played like movie monsters, basically. The
Nazis. It is not heady at all, but I thought it was a sort of a pulpy thrill ride type of film.
Totally.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, in this day and age, if you're going to talk about neo-Nazis, I mean, again, have something to say.
Maybe like,
I don't know. Like, but that was years ago. But that's just looking back on it. I feel it has it's a little thin in that department.
Yeah, like if anything, the band could. Well, then it feels just so contrived if they're like liberal do-gooders who win in the end. You know?
Yeah, I don't. I'm not. I like what it was. I'm just saying it's like, you know. I'm not saying you got to take a stand or you have to like have some kind of deeper meaning, but that movie was really just kind of slasher, like a slasher movie with Nazis.
You're such a snob.
Ah, I know. I get it from my mom.
Oh, the opera singer. Well, that makes sense.
Indeed, yeah.
So old friend Kristen Egan says, The Apartment, The Thin Man, Swing Time, and The Purple Rose of Cairo. Hard to choose one.
I want to see all of these.
You haven't seen any of those, have you?
No, definitely not.
Stop gaming, Noel.
No.
let me see here. Sophie Cobal says, Double Indemnity. Best film noir movie ever. Beautiful movie, dramatic, and sultry. Hey now.
Sultry, you say?
Maddie Baldwin says, Some Like It Hot. The first black and white movie I ever saw. Amazed me how much it just sucked me in to the point where I didn't even notice. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't think he necessarily means this. Maddie doesn't. But I think some people are turned off by black and white films. I don't think a ton of people, but I know some people are like, it didn't even bother me or something that it was black and white. I'm like, well, what do you mean bother you? It's great.
That's weird. Yeah, I mean, it's such a, you know, it's obviously a difference. You know, you have to shoot differently. Like, the lighting has to, it's a certain look, and it requires a lot more, like, depth and something about it. Like, it has to be done really masterfully to look right and not look flat. Casey Pegram would be a good person to talk about, like, the craft behind shooting in black and white and, like, what, you know, what that takes versus shooting in color. But, yeah. No, I don't think it's a drawback at all. I think it can actually, like, really be a powerful tool, as we know. Yeah. A lot of, like, modern films make that choice on purpose.
Are you talking about your penis again?
Yep. Absolutely. Always.
I'm so sorry, everyone.
It's fine.
I apologize. I don't know why I'm being so silly.
You are being so crass today, Chuck.
Well, you said powerful tool. Come on.
I didn't even know what you were talking about. I didn't even catch that. I'm like, what? I was talking about the craft of filmmaking and chiaroscuro lighting.
I know, and I'm just crass over here. I'm feeling very childish today.
I love it, Chuck. I love this energy.
So Joe Burns, one of our old pals, says, The Man Who Wasn't There, one of my favorite Coen Brothers film, and underrated, too.
Mm-hmm.
I agree, my friend. And I haven't seen that one in a long time, but it'll be coming up on our film series with Ben Harrison soon enough.
You haven't seen The Man Who Wasn't There?
No, I haven't seen it since it came out.
Oh, gotcha. I mean,
that was a one-timer.
I don't know. I don't remember ever seeing that come out in theaters. I was first made aware of it on DVD, which is funny because, I mean, I was very aware of Coen Brothers, but that one seemed to have gotten a less wide release maybe or something. I don't know.
Well, there wasn't a video game tie-in, so.
And I am talking about my penis, and its wide release.
Jesus Christ. My God. What has happened here?
We have turned a corner to
this
the dark
side. This
might
be side. The last episode, Noel. Last episode ever.
Well, according to our iTunes reviews, the show should have ended a long time ago, so.
Oh, really? Are they bad?
I'm kidding, Chuck. I do a little rabbit hole of iTunes reviews sometimes, and I very cathartically, for my own mental health, post the bad ones that call me out by name on my Instagram story just so people can comment and say nice things.
Oh, that's funny.
But there was literally one that was like, oh, you'll love this one, Chuck. It was not for the show. It was for Ridiculous History. But someone was like, really enjoyed the show, but lately it seems like Noel's developed an attitude. Unsubscribe.
And did you say, I haven't developed an attitude? Fuck you.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing about iTunes reviews. You can't clap back, man. You can't clap back.
You just get clapped on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God bless them. Well, you know what, Noel? We have our listeners here who love us and who depend on us each week to be silly and talk about movies. And that's all I care about.
Totally.
Everyone else can get bent.
Absolutely.
All I care about are these movie crushers.
Oh, they're the best.
And
dude,
my family.
It's so crazy how much response you get when you post these things. I'm always blown away by the level of thoughtfulness and just charm. And they're lovely, lovely humans.
Lovely humans. I agree. We're going to go with Jason. Wow. I didn't know you could just have one name on Facebook. I guess so. Did you know that? Have you ever seen a one-namer?
I don't know how you do that. It usually makes you fill in all the fields.
Hey, Jason found a workaround.
Way to go, Jason.
He goes with Ed Wood and The Third Man. Boy, I agree with both of those. Ed Wood is, you know, we talked about that with Alex on the show. The photography in that movie is top-notch.
It's so good.
Amanda Caron, one of our old friends, says, Rear Window, to capture so much in so little space. Why do I think that Rear Window was not black and white?
You know, I'm thinking it maybe wasn't either. I've definitely seen it, but it's been a long time.
It's not black and white, Noel. It's color.
Dang it.
But you know what? I'm going to forgive that because it feels like it could have been black and white, Amanda.
It does feel that way. In your mind, and maybe your memories just are in black and white, you know?
Yeah. And she actually had a couple of folks, top fan Martin Kidd and Jennifer Lewis also said it's in color. And Martin even used the British spelling of color, so you know he's right. You don't throw that U in there unless you're pretty sure.
I chatted quite extensively last night with a listener from the UK, from Nottingham, and it was really cool. We talked about politics and stuff, and he gave me a great nickname that the Brits use for their prime minister. They call him Bojo.
Bojo. Bojo the Bozo, probably.
Exactly. Exactly.
What should we call our president, Noel? Mr. President?
Fucking idiot. I don't know.
Boy, he seems to just be content to take this down in flames, doesn't he?
I almost am like done even talking about it. It's just, no, I'm ready to just
move on.
See what happens. But also, like, God, what if he doesn't abdicate the throne? You know what I mean? What if he loses and then he like won't leave? I just can't picture him graciously, you know, conceding anything ever.
No, that's because that's literally impossible, Noel. I think he will either drop out beforehand if the writing's on the wall, or he will lose and claim voter fraud and try and get courts involved. I don't know, Noel. Why are we talking politics?
We're not. People didn't come here for politics. They came here for crushing.
All right, let's keep crushing. Schindler's List. This is from Amy, oh boy, you know I'm going to love this name, Bragagnini.
Mm.
Schindler's List by far. Been reading so many good books about World War II lately. It all breaks my heart. Yeah, Amy, I'm with you there.
And it's there's been that one little splash of color with the little girl's dress where you see her in the pile. Or no, you see her throughout the movie a couple times, and then you see her in the pile at the end. Really creative. Yeah. Oh, I'm actually getting shivers just thinking about it. That was a very powerful movie. It's so funny. You think of Spielberg sometimes as being this like tentpole kind of, you know, shock and awe kind of like, but he's very thoughtful. Like he's so thoughtful. Sure. and great at framing and just like he's just everything about him is, you know, I think he gets not shit on, but like just, you know, unfairly considered like just so mainstream. But he really is very creative in his filmmaking and very adept.
Yeah, and beyond that, he's sure he does his Ready Player Ones, but he also does Amistad and Munich and right. Schindler's List and Color Purple and Lincoln. Like he's got a hard on for history. Noel is what I'm saying.
Totally. Was Munich pretty good? I didn't see Munich.
Dude, Munich's great.
Okay.
Totally good and very. You know the story that it's about. Is the Munich Olympics.
Yeah.
And it's about these, well, I won't tell you, but it's very taut, like a taut political thriller.
I think I'm going to try to find it this evening. I need a movie to watch. Chuck, I got to tell you, it's crazy. Your Skype is like about a minute behind your audio. It's like I'm paying attention now and I'm seeing you react like maybe 20 seconds, but it's very jarring. It's kind of great though.
So are you able to follow the conversation?
Absolutely. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's just funny because I've never seen this happen before.
So the audio's in sync, but the video's off?
Yeah, the video is like literally like 15 seconds-ish behind. So I'll hear you say something and then I'll see you say it. Oh, God, stop. You're doing it on purpose now.
No, I'm just fucking with them now, everyone.
I love it.
Making
love
these
it.
Big, broad expressions.
Oh, that's great.
All right, top fan and old friend Harper Smith says, Francis Ha. Not an oldie, but a goodie. Yeah, Francis Ha was great.
Okay, that's another one I need to put on my list. I really love Baumbach, but I haven't seen enough of his work. I really loved The Squid and the Whale, and I saw Greenberg. Didn't he do Greenberg?
Yeah.
And I saw one other that I quite enjoyed. Kicking and Screaming, was that his first one?
Uh-huh.
I like that one a lot, too, but I have not seen Francis Ha.
And, oh, boy, it's great.
People seem to love it.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Andrew Clayton mentions one of my favorite movies, Jim Jarmusch's Down by Law. Wonderful film. John Michael says, is it cheating to say Clerks? No, it's not. Black and white, everyone. That doesn't mean old.
Totally. We talked about that from the start.
Someone also said, is Young Frankenstein cheating? I'm like, no, these aren't cheats.
There's no cheating.
Black and white.
There's no cheating in Movie Crush.
The only cheater was Rear Window.
That's just, yeah, well.
Another vote for Down by Law from Bonnie Liebrook. I don't think I've seen you before, Bonnie. Welcome to the show.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be an old friend before you know it. Our old pal Lisa Teixeira says 12 Angry Men. Another vote for that. Philadelphia Story. That's from Michelle Lambing. one of our oldest of friends. I haven't seen that yet. I need to check that out. Oh, Under the Cherry Moon. Remember that, Prince?
That's the real bad one, right?
It's not great, but Tammy Fillmore likes it. And she posted a great GIF of Prince looking sexy as hell.
He is a sexy man.
He certainly was.
Was. Ah, gosh.
One might even say a sexy motherfucker.
I would. He certainly would. He's not referring to himself, though. He's referring to some object of his desire.
Mm. Are you talking about your penis again?
God damn it, Chuck.
The Danger of, and Gail Kuntz as the Elephant Man. I've never seen that original film.
That is a Lynch. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I don't know why. Another Down by Law vote from John Hurst. Roman Holiday from our old pal, Jane Jinab. Yeah, that's a classic. What a great, great movie.
Was that with our boy Jimmy Stewart?
Roman Holiday was, now I'm blanking. I want to say Gregory. No, it wasn't Gregory Peck, was it? I know it was Audrey Hepburn.
Is that the one where they go on the holiday in Rome?
It is Gregory Peck. Yeah, I was right.
Ah, yes, the Peckmeister.
It's when they go to Hawaii for work.
Okay, got
it. It has nothing to do with vacation or Rome.
Got it. You're kidding me, Chuck. You're kidding me. You're pulling my leg.
Let me see here. Jackie Warren just posted a GIF of Betty Davis from, she didn't even put the movie title, Baby Jane, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, I think that's the name of it.
Mm.
That's a creepy-ass movie.
Oh, I always thought just from the name that it sounded like real charming and cute. Is it?
Oh, God.
No.
No. Baby Jane, man. Whatever happened to Baby Jane? It is a very disturbing movie, psychological horror film with Betty Davis and Joan Crawford. Plot concerns an aging former actress who holds her paraplegic ex-movie star sister captive in an old Hollywood mansion. Does that sound like a romp, Noel?
It doesn't, and it looks to there's some kind of Betty creepy Davis doll. There's a creepy doll. Wow.
Yeah.
This looks like some Grey Gardens shit, man. This is, yeah. Wow.
I've never seen it. I've seen a bunch of clips over the years from various retrospectives, but and I know Betty Davis just destroys it in this movie as a top-notch psychopath.
And this is her kind of like later in life a little bit. She looks like a little more
she's been around the block at this point.
Aged.
Yeah. Yeah. They may have aged her up a bit.
I can see that too, but it looks, oh my God. She's really just leaning into this like weird Hollywood kind of former ingenue kind of bitter old lady kind of situation. I got to see this. I am fascinated by this.
Here's a great one from Jeff Clark, The Last Picture Show, from the great, great Peter Bogdanovich. What a film. So good. And then let's finish up here with a couple more. A new film, Noel, that you just watched again, The Lighthouse. That's from Wesley Hall.
Dude, it's so good.
Stunning photography.
It's unreal. And we talked about this. Actually, we did a roundtable with Casey.
Yeah, I think so.
And we were talking about how they use these vintage lenses, and it has that square aspect ratio, you know, because they wanted to like lean. The director Robert Eggers wanted to lean into that claustrophobic kind of feel, which totally works. It's
totally
fantastic.
Works.
Yeah,
I want to see that again. I don't think I'll be able to get Emily on board. No, I don't think I will be able to.
It's really funny, though, Chuck. I mean, it's just, if she's into acting, why wouldn't she be into it? It's not really a horror, exactly. It's more of a...
No, but it's just movies that induce a lot of anxiety, she's just not down with.
I can understand that.
Especially now. Totally. All right, Noel, we're going to finish up with a little stream this. I've been watching, you know, we finished finally, I don't think I let you know, we finished Ozark. And
Jesus, what an ending.
Took our time with it. Yeah.
What an ending.
It's an ending I actually saw coming. That very last bit, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Like, we don't want to spoil this for anybody. Please check out the show. It's so good. It took me a while.
I kind of called that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started, we needed something lighter. Well, I tell you what we did. We started Dead to Me season two, which we like, but it was a little stressful. And Emily was just like, you know what? I think I really need, because we had such a good time with our Red Oaks relaxation. She's like, I need to go back to something funny. And so we started What We Do in the Shadows.
Very funny. Cute.
Great. Great, great, great.
Yeah,
show.
I watched a couple episodes of it a while back and need to get back into it. Is that on, it's on FX or something, isn't it? Or
it is FX.
Where are you streaming it?
I'm streaming it on Hulu.
Okay, great.
And I'm going to plug Hodgman. He's got a new show coming out. I'm looking for the name. Hold on. And I'll say something interesting.
I have been rewatching Key and Peele. And okay. I didn't really realize this at the time, but after, you know, obviously Jordan Peele's fantastic horror, I guess, work. I mean, it is horror. It's satire. It's got comedy, but it's straight up, you know, tense horror. You can see the seeds of that in a lot of early Key and Peele sketches. There's a lot of, like, you know, anxiety and kind of like, you know, macabre kind of characters and stuff. And like, you can really kind of, I wonder what that production was like. Like, if he was really hands-on with leading that, or like, you know, the way that he wanted to frame things up or the style they were going for. I mean, I'm sure he, you know, he wasn't credited as a director, but I gotta think that, like, it's all so intentional. I mean, honestly, Key and Peele, I think, is probably the highest production value sketch comedy show ever of all time. Like,
I could see, No, their stuff was great. Because you're right, not only was it just all funny, I mean, that show was so funny. And their character work was so fucking creative and great. But yeah, it looked awesome. And it doesn't often.
Yeah.
In the world of sketch.
Super, super cinematic.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, so Hodgman and David Reese, one of my old pals too, David did the TV show Going Deep with David Reese, and met him through John. He's he wrote a book about pencil sharpening. David's just a great guy, very funny, and a good dude. So they have a show that they did, an animated show called Dicktown.
All right.
And it is... the premise is it is an aging boy detective and his aging bully partner. So think Encyclopedia Brown grows up and he's still solving crimes in his town, and his partner in crime now, or partner in solving these crimes, would be the Bugs Meany character all grown up. His former bully is now his, like, assistant and partner.
Got it.
And I think Hodgman voices the character, and I believe David might as well. And it is premiering July 9th on FXX's Cake. And I think Cake is like a compilation of animated things, and it's premiering on Cake. It's like a animation compilation, if I'm not mistaken.
God, that was all of the things you just said was a mouthful. FXX's Cake, an animation compilation, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's the deal. So check out Dicktown on FXX starting July 9th. I keep wanting to say FFX.
It's hard, yeah.
It's really not. I'm just a dummy.
No. Don't beat yourself up, Chuck.
I think I might have those guys on to help promote their show and do a little, maybe do a mini crush type of thing with them at some point. Good dudes. Support John Hodgman and David Reese, everybody.
I love his voice work. He was he played the dad in Coraline, which I really love that movie, and he does a good job of this kind of goofy, deadpan kind of dad voice. And he's great in everything he does. He's just I like that he gets to kind of be himself. He talked about this too, where he doesn't, like, exactly have to put on a voice or do a character. He just kind of, it's me, right. John Hodgman, and that voice just works because it's so, you know, singular.
All right, Noel, I got nothing else for this week. Are you good?
I'm good, man.
All right, everyone. Well, thanks for tuning in, and say goodnight, Noel.
Good night, Noel.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.